On the Sunday after Christmas, I say Merry Christmas, which always feels a little bit weird to people, but we are actually in the 12 days of Christmas. Most people don't know Christmas is actually a season that begins at midnight on Christmas Eve as we recognize Jesus coming into the world and continues for 12 days. So it's okay to keep saying Merry Christmas, particularly if it brings joy to you or the people around you. Today, we had an idea. Do you know those sort of at the end of the year, there's this sense of looking back at the year, and often you see, you know, shows doing their highlight reels of things that happened during the year. Sports shows will do the highlights of the year. Well, we're not doing that, at least not exactly. We did think, though, it would be a great time as we wrap up what's been, I know for many, a really tough year, 2020. As we come to the end of 2020, just for Kathy and I to have a pastoral conversation, reflect on the Bible, reflect on theology, reflect on this last year and some of the questions we've heard and some of the things that we've thought about. So we're gonna dive in and do that today in a way that opens a conversation between us and hopefully spurs some conversation for you, your family, or to contact us and have these conversations as we move from 2020 into 2021. Mm. So, Kathy, as we think about that, what's some of the things that have been in your mind as you reflect back at the year past?
Well, thank you, Brian. Immediately what comes to mind is the March 15th date, and that date that we all have implanted in our minds about when the church shut down, when we went to online worship only when restaurants closed, businesses closed, and we really did isolate for the pandemic. And just the reactiveness from the Clay congregation and how we decided as a congregation that the church would leave the building and make sure that we continued ministry in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I think about those dates, that date and that, right, sort of the pain of that decision. I remember our staff really struggling with, how do we do this? What do we do? And we knew it was the right decision to care for people, but that, like, the only way we knew church on Sunday morning for the most part was to gather in this space on a Sunday morning and worship. And so the initial decision was hard, but once we made it, it sort of, there was this theological reflection that said, wait a minute, the church is a church for the world. Like, our ministry is to be beyond these walls. We are a gathered and sent people, right? I mean, Jesus called his disciples together, and then he sent them out into the world. And so maybe it's a reminder to us to go out and serve.
I think so, too. And what I observed, the creativity of the Clay staff and the Clay congregation in terms of what could be done, it was just a movement of the Holy Spirit in this church. And it was, you're right, it was painful, it was difficult. In many ways, it felt like we were making decisions on the fly and couldn't do a whole lot of long-term planning. But
we were making, it didn't feel like it. We were making decisions on the fly.
but the power of the Holy Spirit just seemed to sweep through. Staff creativity, congregational creativity, the laity just stepped up and just long to do ministry for the people.
Yeah. It also makes me think of the Stephen ministers and others, volunteers who stepped in to make phone calls. And that sense you really get when Paul began planting churches all over, you get this sense like it didn't center in the gathering, it centered in the relationships of families with other people and sharing the news. And it was really a joy, it was really a blessing to watch our congregation sort of recognize that church is about relationship. I think it made all of us realize that church is not just about gathering, not that gathering isn't important and virtual gathering is important, but that church, you know, Jesus's ministry was based in relationships.
Yes.
The early church, it was based in relationships. And our ministry, as painful as COVID has been and the pandemic has been, if there's a silver lining, to use a cultural term, but a blessing, to use the God term, it's been a return to put relationships at the center of what ministry what ministry is.
I really like that observation, Brian, and our circles. And so many different ways have come together, and I know of so many circles that have come closer. Our circle has become closer, even though we've either had to meet over Zoom or we've met outside when the weather was warmer. But it was clearly we became deeper in relationship with one another, more caring. There was more love. There was more texts happening throughout the week to touch base as things might happen to different people in our circle. And so I think our circles have been a very vital and important part of holding those relationships together and deepening those relationships.
Yeah. I mentioned blessing in the midst of this, but I think we can't talk about 2020 without talking about the pain and the loss of this year. I know, you know, we had our service of peace just before Christmas, the drive-through experience, and mm-hmm. I realize as people are walking through how much loss there has been. We've have mm-hmm. congregation members who've lost loved ones. We've lost congregation members, parents that have been lost in this year, and mm-hmm. And I think it naturally in a year like this or in the midst of a pandemic, it makes us ask these questions about mm-hmm. pain and suffering and mm-hmm. and difficult times and where is God in the midst of that, right? I mean, there's sort of that universal when people are suffering, why doesn't God just fix it? And I don't know, as you think about our caring ministries, mm-hmm. I guess one of my questions is how have you wrestled with that as we've walked with people through these difficult times?
Yeah, I think it's made the caring ministry more difficult. We have done some face-to-face things with people, but so much of our caring ministry has had to be over the phone. I call it telecare. That's a Stephen ministry term, telecare or over Zoom. And in the midst of caring for someone, you miss that physical presence, the ability to hold hands or to be together with one another during prayer. And so it has made the caring ministry more difficult. And my prayer has always been throughout this time is that people can find peace. That they can find comfort from God's love, that they can truly believe Jesus when he says, "My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." But honestly, Pastor Brian, it's been more difficult to care for people.
Yeah. I remember one call in particular, and I called the hospital because I wanted to go right away, it was just a hard no. In terms of going to be with somebody at that mm-hmm. At that moment of passing, and mm-hmm. it's been tough. And I know a number of people now have experienced. I mean, it felt like for a while, you know, you kind of tangentially knew someone, and now almost all of us, probably all of you watching, know somebody whose family has been mm-hmm. has been affected in this last year. And mm-hmm. I think of that why question. Some of you have heard me preach probably before on the book of Job and. Mm-hmm. And I took a seminary class in part on the book of Job because I knew that Job wrestled with that, and I knew it was a book that allowed us to enter into the, you know, why do people suffer? And just a spoiler alert, if you read Job, it doesn't necessarily answer the question. But I'm always struck at the end of Job, God appears to Job, and God... Mm-hmm. Says he begins, "Who is this that darkens my counsel without knowledge?" And then God goes on to just say, "You know, where were you when I created everything that is?" He answers Job, and he sort of says, "Job, you can't understand. There's just you're not going to be able to understand the scope of all of creation."
Yeah.
But that first line in Job, it always bugged me. It's like, Job is suffering, and Job hasn't done anything wrong. Why would God say who hearkens without knowledge? And then as I read Job over and over again, the last voice before God speaks is Job's friend Elihu. Uh-huh. And Elihu, in that moment, he actually says the same things that God is saying, But he ends, and I want to get it right. He ends with these words. He says, this is Elihu speaking. He's trying to help Job understand that Job should just give up, stop asking for an audience with God, that this is just the way it is. Obviously, Job has messed up and done something wrong, and this is why he's suffering. And so he says this. He says, for now, no one can look at the sun. It is bright in the sky. The wind has passed and cleared away the clouds. From the north comes golden light, the awesome splendor of God. As for the Almighty, we can't find him. He is powerful and just, abundantly righteous. He won't respond. Therefore, people fear him. None of the wise can see him. And then there's this next line in Job. It says that Job gets God to answer. And we think that God's first line is to Job, but I think that God's first line is talking about Job's friends in Elihu, and says to Job, who are these friends that bring you counsel without knowledge? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have the idea. It is beyond your knowledge. But Elihu just said that you won't see me or you can't see me. And God says, oh no, you're going to see me throughout all of creation. And I am now going to give you audience. So the really rich part for Job for me is that it assures us that God is with us. Mm-hmm. God hasn't abandoned us in all this. And mm-hmm. God is willing to show up and show God's self. And in that sense, Job eventually finds comfort. Like he's like, I'm not going to understand it all. But I've had an audience with God.
Yes.
And in many ways, it's such a rich message in the midst of a pandemic as we have just celebrated Christmas, because that's the Christmas message. God shows up.
Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah. Yes, yes. And I'd like to diverge just a bit and tell a story about my mom that I think speaks to this. Brian, you've heard this story before, as many of you here in the congregation know, or those of you on the airwaves may not know. I lost my mom to COVID in November, and I was unable to be with her when she died. She was in a memory care unit. She suffered from Alzheimer's, but what I learned, so that, let me just say that made me very sad, not to be able to be with my mom when she died. But what I learned in the course the next day after her death, her certified nurse assistant texted me and said, Kathy, I just want you to know that I was there with your mom when she died. And I've known her for 2 years. I've taken care of her for 2 years. I've washed her and fed her and been with her. And she was surrounded. She went very peacefully, very comfortably, and she was surrounded by people that loved her. And so God shows up, just like God showed up to Job and Job's friends, even though they may not have been able to see God's presence. I saw God's presence with my mom when she passed in the CNA that got a hold of me. Yeah. Right after mom's death. So yeah. She was surrounded by love, and that's God. God is there. God was with her, and still is, of course.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Kathy. I know. I remember your story, and another congregation member has a very similar story. Couldn't be there as her husband was passing, but the nurse had called and said I was, or when she called and found the news and arrived, the nurse said I was with him. I was holding his hand, mm-hmm. and it just brought her such comfort. And then I actually read that the nurses in our community made a commitment that nobody would die alone, mm-hmm. Right? God showing up, that these healthcare workers said, we understand that this time is going to be hard, and we'll be, they didn't use these words, but I would say they made the commitment to be Jesus, to be there holding the hand of loved ones, so we know that people aren't alone. God's showing up.
Yes. Yeah. God's, when we keep our eyes open and we can, and God grants us the grace to be able to see those God moments, mm-hmm. we know that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us.
Yeah. It strikes me, it also makes me think in the Old Testament, right, the Bible doesn't say that we'll be free of suffering.
No.
It, it's interesting to reflect on this year, and it's almost like, you know, we have this sense that we're in control and we lost control in 2020, but the reality is, you know, anybody who's been through a period of multiple losses, mm-hmm. or a job loss and struggle knows that, yeah, I mean, 2020 had its challenges, but at any point in life, anybody can have these challenges. Right? We're not in control.
Right.
There's this invitation in the Bible, right? It doesn't promise that for people of faith, everything's going to be easy.
Right.
But there's an invitation to turn to God. In fact, in Chronicles, we see these kings sort of leading times of prosperity and peacefulness and goodness, and then we see these kings who sort of make a mess. And one of the things that distinguishes whether the times are a mess or whether the times have a sense of peace is whether those leaders lean into God,
mm-hmm.
And then therefore call the people to lead into God. And so you get these very similar stories of a King Asa and King Hezekiah in Chronicles. And it says King Asa, early in his leadership, he turned to God. But later in his leadership, when he gets sick, when he gets ill, he turns away.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it doesn't say he turns away. He turned to other sources of comfort, turned mm-hmm. away from God, essentially,
mm-hmm.
and brought essentially more pain and more calamity. Hezekiah, as he gets ill, he turns to God. And what's interesting in this story is Hezekiah still dies, right? I mean, Hezekiah doesn't live, but he leads his people into this time of peacefulness. And I have to assume, I think we have to assume as we read the Bible, that that's because the peacefulness doesn't necessarily come from outside. I mean, the world still has challenges. They're mm-hmm. still, under siege by other empires.
Mm-hmm.
But they put their trust in God, and they find peace in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that truly is a place where we can find that peace that passes all understanding. And in some ways, finding that peace is actually letting go of the control that we so want to hang on to, and understanding that, as God told Job, that God is God, and we will never really understand the ways of God. But when we can let go of that control, turn our hearts and our minds and our spirits back to God, pray, then we have an understanding and maybe even a visualization of God with us mm-hmm. in our hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I've been saying throughout the season, I just keep finding the words on my lips that we don't know the future for certain, but we know for certain that God has the
yeah.
future. And
yeah.
I just, maybe I'm holding on. Maybe I keep saying that to others because I'm trying to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think they're words for us to live by. And Kathy, mm-hmm. you mentioned prayer. I think, I think for many people have asked, you know, how do we get through these times? And that gift of prayer, it's been humbling as we've watched people praying mm-hmm. for each other, and
mm-hmm.
and the phone calls that went out to our congregation mm-hmm. in the first couple months of the pandemic
mm-hmm.
was a big focus. And
mm-hmm.
I would just encourage us as we enter into this new year, maybe for all of us to make prayer a priority, to pray for each other, to ask
mm-hmm.
each other how we can be praying for you, to ask people we encounter how can we be praying for you
mm-hmm.
and support each other
mm-hmm.
in that way.
It has felt emotionally and spiritually during this year when I can share a prayer with someone, typically not in person during this time sometimes, but share a prayer with somebody over the phone or over a Zoom conversation or FaceTime, that there's a certain sense of God's presence with them and the gracious thank yous the gracious peace that you hear in people's voices after a time of prayer really has solidified for me the importance of prayer in our lives and the importance of praying for one another and the importance of praying with one another.
Yeah.
So I would encourage, I also echo and encourage deepening our prayer life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So We've now talked for the majority of the time already about the pandemic, because that's right what we've done in 2020. Everything seems tinged by the pandemic. But I think we'd be remiss not to mention other things in our world in the last year. I know Kathy and I, we've talked multiple times about unity and peace and the political divide of today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and the racial tension.
Racial tensions.
And our country grappling with, in some ways, having part of the country polar opposite from the other part of the country in terms of politics, in terms of what they feel about the pandemic, and what safety measures we need to take for the pandemic. And it piled on top of the pandemic, it has felt as though we're just in some kind of tug of war with one another, mm-hmm. that we have this need to be right, mm-hmm. My side is right, your side is wrong. And I've seen this in emails with folks. I've seen it in conversations. I've seen it in even families, mm-hmm. that there's been a polarization and an inability to come together in peace and discuss the issues.
Yeah. I mean, Kathy, as we've reflected, as you reflect, what's the spiritual answer? And is there hope? Are we divided so much that we can't come back together? Or is there a way forward?
I believe there's a certain tension in our conflict that can work toward the common good. A spiritual answer. Pastor Brian, I'm at a loss.
That's how this works. Just throw it right back. Right? So I think, I've reflected on this too, and there have been days, which I'm going to guess some of you have had as well, there have been days when I've read the headlines in the news and thought our country and even our church is pulling apart at the seams, and mm-hmm. is there any hope? And then there have been lights, like little moments of light, little moments of inspiration where I've watched two people with very different political persuasions come together and have a really rational conversation where they listen to each other. Mm-hmm. Or I've seen them serve alongside each other, where the current climate kind of came up, but really that was secondary because they were volunteering together at the food pantry, or they were helping, they were helping in another ministry somewhere. And in those moments, I think there is a spiritual answer. For me, for us, I think, as a congregation, as followers of Jesus, and that spiritual answer is Jesus, mm-hmm. and it's the way of Jesus, and for me, Philippians 2 may be the sort of a for us as we're seeking. So how do we move forward together as a community that isn't going to see every issue in the same way. Mm-hmm. And Philippians chapter 2, right? Paul's writing to the church, and he says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love," right? We should have both. "If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." And I want to pause here, and because our mind goes, like today we think, okay, so Paul's asking us all to think the same way, mm-hmm. right? Paul's like, does Paul want us to all be on the same political page or the same, the same page? But I don't think so. The next thing he says is, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." And then he calls us to have the mindset of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if we think of the mindset of Jesus, the first will be last. And it goes back to being right.
Yes.
I think there are anchors of our faith. And I think so many of those anchors we share together. Love mm-hmm. the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And I don't know any follower of Jesus who wouldn't say that's a primary command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know any follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I hear Paul calling us to those central tenets of Jesus, and then following Jesus in the way of humility, not beginning with I'm right and you're wrong, but beginning with, do you know what? God loves you and God loves me, so let's find a way together. A call not to give in to selfish ambition. And I think this one's tricky because I think often we don't examine our own ambitions when we're in the heat of those arguments. I think to pause and go, wait, what? Why am I so worked up? Where is this coming from? What am I protecting? How is this about Jesus? Are all questions to ask as we think about not giving in to selfish ambition. And then looking to the interests of others. So if I'm asking myself as I'm sitting there with somebody, and I've had a couple of those difficult conversations, and I've messed up. I'll just own that. But when I've done it right, instead of trying to make them understand my view, I've asked questions, I've listened, I've asked, you know, what's going on in their lives that can help me understand and help me invite them into a place where they can also hear me and hear my views.
So
as a follower of Jesus, I have to hold out hope. I think it's a dangerous time in our world.
Oh, I think so too. And my thoughts went to a little bit harder edge of Jesus. My thoughts went to Holy Week. And when I think about Holy Week, I think about how Jesus railed against and had so many disagreements against the religious authorities of the time. That's you and me, Pastor Brian. So when I think about Holy Week, it also humbles me. But Jesus was not only talking about the religious authorities; he was also not as often, but criticizing the Roman Empire also. And it seems to me that and he got crucified for it.
Right.
You know, he died because his teachings were about being humble, were about loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God and taking away legalism and moving toward the more peaceable kingdom of God's kingdom. And so there's a hard edge on that too. And I often wonder if part of what Jesus is saying is, don't focus so much on the political system. Don't focus so much on the legalism of what's right and wrong, but focus more on God's love and loving your neighbor and being humble and being able to follow Philippians 2 in listening first and responding later, but truly listening to the other person first.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how this sort of is a full circle from the conversation about as the pandemic started and remembering that church is about relationships. Because if the church is about relationships and even helping people know God is about relationships, then that starts not with political judgment or anchored political position. It starts with mutual love.
Yes.
It starts with giving our hearts to somebody. It starts with getting to know them. It starts with listening to them. And then I think our experience is, as followers of Jesus, once we really know somebody, once they know we love them, then we can have harder conversations. But we can't have those hard conversations until we have a relationship that is anchored in the kind of love, unconditional love, that God has for us.
Yes.
So it's interesting as you reflect on that, and even that harder edge brings us back around to it starts with relationships.
Yes.
And Jesus put relationships first.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So as we look forward to 2021, what are you thinking? Like what goes through your mind as a church, as a leader in the church? As part of this community, what do you think of as we think toward 2021?
Good question. I think that we will be entering into a time of a new normal. So throughout the first 3 or 4 months of the year, as a church, we're going to continue to discern when it's going to be safe to come back, when it's going to be safer to be able to fellowship with one another and be together in person. That I think, and I just talked about giving control to God, but I do believe that we need to prepare ourselves to understanding that things are going to be different. Mm-hmm. That there will be a new normal in the ways we worship, in the ways we come together for worship, that it's not going to be a snap of our fingers and we're all just going to be back together again. But the basics remain the same. In terms of God's presence with us, in terms of being Jesus to the community around us. Mm. So I guess the answer to that is I'm not really anticipating that I feel as though we need to live into what the future is going to bring us, both as Clay Church, in our community of South Bend, in our country, and in our world. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, holding up Jesus as the one that we follow, the one that we love, the one that we emulate as best we can as human beings.
I like two pieces of that, well, all of it, but two pieces, the basics. Like it becomes about the basics. Like I do think when there is upheaval, peace comes from getting back to putting Christ at the center. I mean, mm-hmm. it becomes not easy, but basic. And living in, right, that idea of living into what's going to be a new normal. I know. And I think one of the things I think of 2021 with the vaccine now out is like there's a sense of anticipation and hope, and I think that's fantastic. And so I think continuing to live with that hope to see the light on the horizon is fun and important. At the same time, you know, they're saying months before that happens, and we'll be making decisions about, you know, how to come back into group spaces and what does that look like and how do we do that safely and how do we do that while caring for the physical and spiritual health of our congregation. And so there's going to be that step. And then what have we learned, I think, in 2020 about being the church for the world? Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen transformation happen in people and our mission being lived out and walking with more people from neighbors reaching out to neighbors. Mm-hmm. And so how do we gather back but not lose that? Because that's being the church into the world.
Yes.
I think about new partnerships that we've developed as a church. Sue Zumbrun has done amazing work in our missions and outreach, and we're now working with Cultivate Culinary and even more involved in our school partnerships and have other food pantry partnerships. And what does it look like as organizations have come together, as Clay Church has come together, to be a church for the community?
And
in responding to what will be, you know, more hardship economically, spiritually, even physically from the last few months. And then I think you're right. I think for us as a church in 2021, in some ways it isn't a different, the mission is the same.
Yes.
Mission is to walk with more people toward a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. And our vision is the same. It's to embrace more people in the love of Jesus Christ. It is to ignite passions to serve where Jesus called. And that's been exciting too, to see people knowing they feel like they want to help and they want to do something and they've gotten involved in the food pantry or other ministries or caring. And then the third part of our vision is to expand Christ's love. So what will that look like in the year ahead?
Yes, Pastor Brian, I think that we need to keep focused, stay focused on our vision, our mission, our outreach, our bringing others as best we can to know God's love and God's grace and God's goodness in their lives and inspire, be inspiration to inspire to build God's kingdom in this community of South Bend and the world.
Yeah. Inspiration. I think that, I mean, that's a great word. I shared on Christmas Eve. Let's share good news. I feel blessed. I know we both feel blessed to be part of this church and this community and the good news that's being shared and spread through ministry. And there's a lot more that lies ahead.
Yes.
So that's probably a good place.
Yes.
It's probably a good place to wrap up this conversation. And I want to invite us, I mean, thinking about ministry ahead, at Clay Church, we make this pledge, this commitment every week. We say this covenant, and it's about recognizing that God has more for us to do, more people for us to reach, more people for us to walk with. So I just want to invite you now, as we close this time together, this last worship service of 2020, would you join Pastor Kathy and I as we say together our Clay Church covenant? You'll find the words on the screen. I will pursue the faithful life, reaching up to God each day, reaching out to serve someone this week, and reaching one more person with the love of God.